song was, it's, hey, I'm forgetting a lot of things. La la la, boy Jesus, da da on the hill, da da in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus, down on his, yes. A little Lord Jesus, sleep on the hay. That was when I was little, right? That used to be. Then as I grew up, the older song began to appeal to me. Hark the herald angels sing. By my teenage, the newborn king. Hark the herald angels sing. Christ was born on Christmas Day, right? That was the first line, right? Then hark. In Bethlehem, I always love the story of the Lord born in Bethlehem. And with blessed Christmas, let us endeavor to return the essence and the joy to Christmas. The joy is Jesus himself and the story of the Lord Jesus, our human. Our Lord, I always related with the story of the humanity of our Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. I'd like to talk a little bit. You know, we try not to preach occasional messages in this church, but we're not unaware of the season, and we're in the season where the world is resisting Jesus and taking our Savior Jesus out of our own holiday. Can you imagine that? You go and you hear all kinds of songs, but do you still hear? I mean, now actually at my work, it's no longer Merry Christmas. A client wished everybody Merry Christmas. I said, oh, she almost apologized for those of you that celebrate Christmas. Yes. All right. It's Merry Christmas. Merry followers of Jesus Christ. The season that the world received hope and a savior. The season that gives hope for the first time to those who were despised, to the brokenhearted. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because your truth always prevails. We thank you because what we cannot do, you sent your son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin destroyed sin in our flesh. And you made us your sons and your daughters. The gospel remain one. The singular news that changed the world, that our Lord Jesus Christ came, the Messiah of the whole world, to give hope to the brokenhearted, to give beauty for ashes. In the words of the prophet, the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise, you did not forget those whose hearts are heavy. We thank you. We thank you for the angels that announced the birth of Jesus, and kingdoms and governments have risen against him. Yet, your son is celebrated. This is a testament to your truth that can never be destroyed. We thank you because the poor can look to you and have hope. You are the hope of the world, the light of the world. We give you praise and glory and honor and adoration. Thank you, Lord Jesus. They do not like you, but they celebrate you. Blessed be your name. Boy, in this place, we ask for your blessings, Jesus. None of us will be seated there as saints if you had not drawn us. We're selected, handpicked to be here, to have hope. We're no wiser than those who have rejected your gospel. So we thank you. We celebrate you, Lord. Please teach us. I have no idea what to teach about today, Lord. I have scribbles and notes, meditations and reflections. They are all useless. But Lord, you are able to take all of this and breathe life and speak to each one of us in our own language. Father, please use me, speak to me, through me. I pray we will go home, restored in faith, rejoicing in hope, hearing your voice today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I like most, oh, if there's children's church, please feel free. Thank you, Sister Kike. Thank you, Sister Kike. Is the humanity of Christmas. Our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and Messiah, but he presents to us, to himself to us at all times as one of us. And I really like the Christmas stories that speak about his humanity. Did I say something wrong? Okay, at times I mean to say Elijah and I say Isaiah, so I'm checking. In these seasons, I like to reflect on Christ, his birth, his humanity, and relate to him. So we'll read a few scriptures, familiar scriptures, just because everywhere we go, there's a concerted effort by Satan to make us forget the Jesus in Christmas. So we'll just go through the scriptures and we hear what the prophet said about Jesus and his coming. And we trust the Holy Spirit will interpret his word to us. Let's first go to Matthew chapter 2. And I'm just going to call your mind to a few things that we may skip that I think you should remember as the 25th of December runs through. We know that's not the official date of our Lord Jesus. Don't that I was we're quite conscious of all, but let's set all of that apart. I was quite glad to drive around my neighborhood and see that both those who believe in Jesus and those who do not believe in Jesus were setting up Christmas celebration decorations, which is a fulfillment of a prophecy that they will acknowledge the Lord Jesus, whether they like it or not. All around us, our culture denies Jesus, but there's just something they can't resist about the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 of Matthew starts by saying, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. I'm not going to read everything, just a little nuggets here and there that I want you to pay attention to today. And what they said, where is he who was born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and we have come to worship him. Then you know the rest of the story. Herod the king, you might not know this Herod, very wicked king. He wasn't really a Jew. He was what they call a Hasmonean Jew, according to history. You know, a lot of people had mixed with the Jews by that time. This Herod, of course, called the wise men, tried to find out where Jesus was born, called his own men. They said he will be born in Bethlehem. And he ordered that 2 years and below, all babies, because the wise men did not come back to him to confirm. He was a murderous man. He tried. But what was curious to me, and I want you to go with this phrase, is wise men from the east. Not wise men from Jerusalem. Not wise prophets in Jerusalem. These were not people who had the sermon and the prophecy about the coming of Jesus. But what was hidden in Jerusalem on that day were many Pharisees, many Sadducees. None of them were there to receive the fulfillment of the greatest prophecy in Jerusalem. The Lord did not reveal it to any of them. The Lord revealed it to wise men from a strange land who were not expecting Christmas. Isn't our Lord always like that? And wise men with a strange tongue came to Jerusalem to announce to the king of Jerusalem that the greatest prophecy on earth was about to be fulfilled. And the little city of Bethlehem was sleeping. Nobody knew. If they had known, they would have relocated that manger to Mayo Clinic. If they had known, they would have come up with Santa Claus earlier. The first Christmas was not celebratory, was not expected, was exactly the way God does his things to people and in areas where you and I are not looking. I'm asking you as we go home today, are you today preoccupied with the obvious about Christmas? Or is the Lord revealing something in this season and Christians are not receiving it? And the people receiving it are probably on a covert on a cold morning in Washington, D.C. What are you saying, O Lord? There was something that Jerusalem and the synagogues and the scribes and teachers were waiting for on Christmas morning. They knew the prophecy about the Messiah more than anyone, but they missed it. Pray that you will not miss what Jesus is saying. 2024 Christmas. That struck me when I was reading it. Wise men, were there no wise men in Jerusalem? What is Jesus saying about his birthday that I may be missing while I'm wrapping the gifts and cooking the jollof rice? May I not miss it? Why did, what's the name of that man? Nicodemus, Gamaliel. They were contemporaries of the Lord Jesus. Okay, maybe they weren't old enough then. But there, whatever, whoever was the chief scribe, I'm not going to, you get that point. Wise men, who are the wise men seated there? What is the Lord saying to us? Is he saying Santa Claus? Is he so preoccupied with the gifts that we are giving one to another this morning? What would Jesus have us do to celebrate his birthday? What's the significance of Christmas? I'd rather do what Jesus wants on Christmas morning. Wise men, I understood that part. From the East, I could not understand that part. Lord, why will you close all the eyes of the descendants of the prophets? Why will the herald of Christmas come from sky readers, astrologers, or whatever, from the East? Did your people grieve you? Were they cooking jollof rice when they should be praying? Were they wrapping gifts when they should be showing tenderness? Did they ignore the voice of Isaiah? Were they not in the spirit on the Lord's day? Wise men. And I mean this jingle bell, jingling all the time. I put on my radio and go to the stores. It's jingle bell. In the midst of jingle bells, the herald may be missing. That's why I started from the days of my youth. There was no mistaking who we were celebrating in the days of my youth. No mistaking who the season was about. May the Lord help us to know who the season is about in Jesus' name. So that was what I learned from lots of stories about, you know, I did a little arithmetic. So in Bethlehem, they killed two years and below, right? New babies, 2 years and below. Tell me, when you read that, what comes to your mind? Wickedness. What comes to your mind? A lot of crying, right? Moses is Pharaoh. That's a pharaohic thing to do, right? Especially when the next voice says, the next prophecy in verse 18, chapter 2 says, it's a fulfillment of Jeremiah's prophecy saying, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Can you imagine that Christmas was like this? That was the first Christmas. It was accompanied with murder and death and weeping and gnashing. Honestly, that was the first Christmas. But I went a little bit mathematical. Bethlehem was one of the smallest towns, so I did a little AI search Nobody Googles anymore. Like, how many people were 2 years and below around the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea? I wanted to know approximately how many kids could have, children would have been killed. Said, so, well, it was a very little town. Between 2,000 and 3,000 kids would be 2 years and below. The entire population would have been about 3,000, 2,000 and 3,000, sorry, 2,000 and 3,000, entire population. It was a village. It wasn't Laurel for goodness. It wasn't Hyattsville, Maryland. It was Bethlehem of Judea, the home of goats. Okay, so out of 2,000, 3,000, tell me in the average city, what percentage of the population is 2 years and below? So maybe 0.65%, thereabout. On that morning, about 120 to 200 little children would have been killed. But not to Herod. Those were the days when rulers killed people. Nobody would have heard in Israel that that took place in Bethlehem. There was no social media, no CNN. The ways of God are not our ways. On the morning when you and I put a gift and open it, there's a family mourning. There's a Christian angel. There's a weeping. Let's give some thoughts to that. That is the real Christmas, brothers and sisters. Let our Christians be full of empathy and compassion and grace. Let's not be carried away with the wrapping of gifts and bleating of goats and cooking of jollof rice. The danger, the greatest danger in the church is that we be carried away. The sermon I originally wanted to preach was something that I heard. I read an interview, and I'm going to link it real quick. And a man who was a Christian was being interviewed by a secular man, interviewer. And the man said, oh, yeah, Christian. And he said, I don't describe myself as a Christian. I describe myself as a follower of the man of Galilee, Jesus. And the interviewer was a little dissent. No, but you're a Christian, right? You believe in the Lord Jesus. He said, I believe in the Lord Jesus. So, yeah, Christian. I said, you can describe me as such, but I describe myself as a disciple of Jesus. And he tries to go, but what are you? Look, let's just get over the non-enclave. You are a Christian, everybody. I said, once again, I describe myself as a saint, not as a Christian. And I remember we had a Bible study. Remember? Bruh, Kole, remember? That suddenly we were studying the book of Acts, chapter 11. And we realized that. And I'm going to, okay, you guys like, what's it called? Kahoot. What's it called? Mehut. What's it called? Kahoot, right? And some Bible quizzes. Let me give you one. How many times is the word Christian found in the Bible? Once? You're close. Four times? Four is closer. What? Three times exactly. If they were to ask you 1,000 times to describe those of us in this age who follow Jesus, how will you describe us? As Christians, it's now the most popular description of who we are. Now, who can tell me? Let's do another. Let's take it a little higher. Who can remember the instances when the word Christian was used in the Bible? All in the New Testament. If you just remember Acts chapter 11, the one we studied. And who called them Christians? Non-Christians called them Christians. And why? Actually, it was a very derogatory title. I did a little research. Christ there means the anointed one. Ian there means little. So it was a mockery, these little anointed ones. And it was in Antioch, a Roman city, because the Romans did not believe that there was any other God but their Caesars. And now these non-entities, captors, slaves, canonized people are calling themselves tiny anointed ones. We already dealt with the big anointed one. Derogatory time. Which other time? And I'm going to link this up quickly.
First Peter.
Someone has Googled. 16. Hey! Google. Someone has AI. At least Google will give you the AI now, will even give you their opinion and interpretation. May the Lord help us with technology. Okay. Song has not even do Kahoot again in this church. Okay. In 1 Peter 4:16, that was the only time that it was a Christian that was calling Christians Christians. But what was the context? He said, if you suffer as a Christian.
Yeah.
You know what he was doing essentially? Do not be ashamed. So essentially, the word Christian Peter was acknowledging is a word that will naturally invite what? Suffering to you as a person. If you notice every other time that Peter referred, he will call them a holy nation, a royal priesthood, saints, brothers. But in this time, he wanted to say, if you suffer in the hands of people who derogate us as Christians, don't be ashamed of it, because normally Christianity and shame go together. What was the third time? Anybody remember? And we're going to close out as what? Acts 26. Who was calling us Christians then?
28.
Who was Agrippa? What was the context? Positive?
He was talking to Paul that, is he going to convince
him? He almost convinced him to be a... And of course, what he knew Paul was as was a member of that little anointed cult. It was from the mouth of unbelievers. Now, here's where I'm going. Whether it's how you... Brother Tunde Ajiteru said to us that we should know who we are. Let's make sure we don't define ourselves and our occasions, our ceremonies as Christians, the way the world prescribes it. Many of us have reduced our Christmas to Hallmark, to gift and Santa Claus. But that's not how we describe ourselves. That's the way the world sees us. Let's be sure that we do not endorse the world's perception. And in order not to, we have to be close to God's word. Isaiah chapter 9. Please, anybody that gets to it should read it from verse 1 to 9. I'm going to read it actually. Give me 1 second. I plead this morning, as always, that I'm going to start from verse 6. This is how the prophets delivered the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ to us. This life is hard, brethren. I'm speaking to you at a moment in my life. This is probably some of the lowest and saddest moments of my life personally as a man. One of it. The Lord Jesus is my strength, my salvation, my grace, my love. And I rejoice in him. He's the God of my salvation. But we stand on the rock and we stand on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. May he sustain us in the name of Jesus. In all things, we are more than conquerors. We must be careful, because we are tried as saints all the time. And the object of this is that we may be removed from the truth of God's word. It's particularly when you're happiest or saddest to be closest to Jesus, your blessed Redeemer. As this season comes upon us, here's what Jesus says. He says, unto us, through the prophet, a child is born, and unto us a son is given. This son and child, I don't care what the politics of today or tomorrow will be, but the government will rest upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ. That comforts me. The name of Jesus will be called Wonderful Counselor. He's going to be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, this child. His kingdom is going to increase, and it's going to increase with peace, and that peace will have no end. No matter how you're closing out the year, the peace of Jesus Christ will know no end. Upon the throne of David, over his kingdom, to order it, Jesus will establish it with judgment, justice, from the time forward, from that time forward, and forever. And guess what? Who will accomplish it? I wish Christmas was all jingle bell, jingle all the way. Not so. It's not so for us. It's not so for those saints that have gone ahead of us. But we are still more than conquerors. I want you to be very mindful as you open the gift. Let's pray for the sick. Let's think about how Jesus, my wife says something, I think we've always said it, and I think you taught the kids. You know how I like to celebrate my birthday, and I remember when I was turning 50, I had a little, those who loved me the most, I almost quarreled with them. There was a way they wanted me to celebrate my birthday, and there was a way I wanted to celebrate my birthday, and they just could not understand, and they were ready to have me celebrate my birthday, but they still wanted to superimpose the way they want. I said, just leave me alone, right? Just celebrate my birthday the way I want. And nobody could understand why I wanted to celebrate it that way. I said, yeah, that's my way. If you carried me to a Thai restaurant, I'm not going to like the food. So don't take me to Thai. I know, right? There's a way Jesus wants us to celebrate the way. There's a way we want to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Isn't it time we find out how Jesus would rather have us celebrate? But we keep celebrating the poor, it's not a poor man, the rich man's birthday, our own way, all the time. We give one another gifts when he said, whatever you give to the do for the least of the brethren, that's how I want you to celebrate my birthday. Isn't that what Jesus said? Should we not say this? Am I inaccurate? Am I inaccurate? How? To what percentage do we celebrate Jesus' birthday in the way he wants versus the way we celebrate it the way we want? If we celebrate it the way he wants, the earth will receive its prince. And I pray there will be a great movement in Christianity that will say, let us listen to what Jesus wants us to do by Christmas. I'm comforted that the government rests upon his shoulders and he will establish it with righteousness. And he's the Prince of Peace. What we know by faith, we will know by experience in Jesus' name. I'm just going to stick with Isaiah and go to chapter 11. Predicting Christ, it said there will be a rod, 11 verse 1. That rod will come from the stem of Jesse, and the branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon this Jesus that we celebrate. His Spirit will be the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of God. And his delight will be in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees. He will not decide by what he hears, but with righteous judgment, he will judge the poor. He will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness will be the belt of his waist. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatlings together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear, they will graze their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the winged child shall put his hand in the viper's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. Praise the Lord. That is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of the baby that was born in Bethlehem. I'll soon finish, folks, so that we can go and continue to roast our turkey. I'll stick with Isaiah 53. Christmas is what? Thanksgiving is turkey. Christmas is what? Chicken? All right. This is more about who he was. But I think the reading of the prophecy will help us remember who it is we celebrate. Who has believed our report, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He will grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. This Jesus, who is now Santa Claus, in reality, he had no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there's no beauty about this Jesus that will make us even want to celebrate him. Lord, help us to see Jesus. The whole world celebrates him today, but he actually, in reality, he's despised and he's rejected of men. It's only recently that Christ became popular after they had put him on the cross. When he was alive, they weren't celebrating him until he was close to his death. And then those who sang and celebrated him, once he got on the cross, we could not find them anymore. He was a man of sorrow. He was acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We did not esteem him. But he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We actually esteemed him stricken and smitten by God. We said he was getting the punishment he deserved. But he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was laid upon Jesus, and by his stripes we're healed. You know why? All of us, like sheep, all of us, like sheep, we had gone astray. We had turned everyone to his own way. And upon the man we celebrate, God literally put your sin and my sin on his back. But for Jesus, your degrees will be in vain. Your families will be in vain. Your life will be in vain. But for Jesus Christ. But praise the Lord. This is Jesus. Isaiah 61, sticking with Isaiah. And now the Lord speaking for himself. Day G. How are you guys doing? Oh my goody. What a surprise. Now you guys are making me refocus on the sermon. What kind of surprise is this? Okay. But for Jesus, there will be no hope. Adrian? Yeah, sorry. I wasn't going to embarrass myself by not remembering your name. Right. And that is new car? Lucara. Okay. You all know who that is? Okay. Praise the Lord. That's quite a surprise. You don't, Grandma? That's Banker's brother. Anyway. The Lord speaking said, "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, not to wrap gifts under a tree." Do you know what I'm? What is the essence of Christmas? When he announced his own coming, what he was interested in was preaching good tidings to the rich, like Brother Bumi.
Amen.
Thank God he did not exclude us. But what was on his mind was the poor, not himself. To heal the brokenhearted, the Lord said, "I have not come this Christmas for those who are well. Those who are well do not need a physician." Do we really need that extra tablet and laptop and coat? Sincerely, do we really? He's come, he's sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prison to those who are bound. Are we even giving a thought? We have to continue to encourage one another with truth. This is not a condemnation, brothers and sisters. I'm as guilty as everyone else here. I've ordered myself a new pair of electronic screwdrivers for Christmas. Yeah, I ordered it for myself. Oh no, there are other, my name is on all kinds of gifts, mostly things I don't need. So I just want you to know we are all in this. As a culture, I pray the Holy Spirit would enter into us, that we start consciously changing this self-centered perception of the celebration and the remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ did not call for himself. To proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Christmas is not all good news. It's not the season to make people happy. It's also a time to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If not, the death of Jesus will be in vain. Without a teaching of repentance from dead works, the birth of Jesus will be in vain. To console those who mourn in Zion, he's come to give to us beautiful ashes. Tell me, if there were no ashes, would there be a reason to come to give beauty for it? Please. The oil of joy for mourning. If Christians are not going to be mourning, would there be a need to give them an oil of joy? Please answer me now. Let's talk reality, not just theology. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If saints are never going to have the spirit of heaviness, would there be a reason to be giving them a garment of praise? It's when we pay attention to these things that the kingdom of God will be called trees of righteousness that God has planted. And that's when Christ will be glorified. Not by jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle. It's been jingling since I was young. Let's preach the gospel this Christmas. Let's give our jollof rice to someone who needs it. Let's remember a child who needs something. Thank you, Sister Kike. You've gone away now, but I just wanted to thank you for Operation Christmas Tree. You will hear this sermon later. The message today is, let's think about Christmas differently. Let's not think about ourselves. Let's think about it scripturally. The greatest deception in Christianity is self-centeredness. But a saint must be able to say, not what I think. What does the Lord think? Because my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. And my thoughts are not your thoughts, says the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, says the Lord, thus far are my ways from your ways, and my thoughts from your world, from your thoughts. Tell me, how many saints are ready to really just take some time and think about God's ways instead of theirs this Christmas? When are we going to encourage ourselves to do things a little bit differently? They call us Christians. What do we call ourselves? Disciples and saints. It is the world that calls us Christians. And as I close, can you not see the trick of Satan? Do you know why Satan started calling us Christians? If they did not know, do you not now know, Barashegu? Do you now know why he calls us Christians? They're looking at me. I'm actually asking you a question.
Oh.
It's not hypothetical. You know, I don't do hypotheticals. I mean, we wouldn't have known. But now, do you know why he chose that the most popular title for us would be Christians? Because he knew, I'm not going to make them see themselves as disciples. Because disciple, we have someone they are following. I'm not going to make them see themselves as saints. Because the very idea of saints will connote holiness. I'm going to give them a title, they'll be Christians. Because fast forward, Christianity will mean everything and anything. He knew it. We're not ignorant of what? Because there will be Christianity without Jesus. He knew it. And his plan all along was to remove Jesus from Christmas and from Christianity so that we'll be worshiping an idol even as we sing songs of praise. When you remove Jesus from either an event or a movement, you've removed the truth. But the writer of Hebrews says to us, we should do what? Not look at the things behind. We should look ahead to the high calling of the saints in Christ Jesus. We should look at the author and the finisher of all of scriptures. We are begged to look at Jesus alone. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, we know how to celebrate him. We know how to preach him. We know how to live our lives for him. But if you remove Jesus, all you have is a religion. All you have is Santa Claus and elves. Does this make sense? Let's go and celebrate Jesus. Let's go. Let's remember what he wants. Let's challenge one another. Let's not define our celebration the way the world defines it. Let's define it the way God wants. Let's pray for the brokenhearted. Let's pray for those who mourn in Zion. Let's pray for beautiful ashes, for the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Let us pray. I've said a lot. Just want to give you some space before we leave church to silence the noise and just speak to your Messiah. And so thank you, Lord, for your everlasting love. Thank you, Lord. Please finish the work you have started. Encompass us with mercy, Lord. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Please. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever. Amen.
Merry Christmas, everybody. May the Lord go with us as we go. Amen. Any other announcements?